We just finished the fast 2 days ago of the 17th of Tammuz, which represents the beginning of the 3 weeks that is called Ben HaMetzarim. And everybody's dreading the Ben HaMetzarim, 3 weeks, that it's, ooh, this is a very bad time. And we start all sorts of restrictions, no haircuts, no engagements, no parties, no this, no that.
No music.
Since comes soon will come the month of Av, not eating meat, not doing all sorts of things, no washing clothes, so many prohibitions. No, see, we just mentioned the questions, and from the beginning of from the beginning of Av, we don't wash clothes. So I mean, there's different customs. There's different. Each one does their thing. I wanted to do a class in halakha. What are the rules? But we're not going to have time. So each one should open a Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, or to find what is applicable. Some people don't eat, for example, meat the entire 3 weeks. Some people don't eat meat only from Rosh Chodesh Av. Some people don't take haircuts the entire 3 weeks. Some people start not to take haircuts from the first, the second day of Av. There are many different customs, but yeah, it's the beginning of Rosh Chodesh Av till the Tisha B'Av. Some do it the entire 8 days. Some do it from the Sunday of the week of Tisha B'Av, but you don't wash any clothes. So you have to prepare all your clothes in advance, and you can do laundry. I mean, again, this is not so easy when you have six kids and a lot of dirty clothes, but I don't want to talk about the halakha today. I want to talk about the unique things that we can achieve during these days. I mean, these days are considered Yemei Evel, days of mourning. They are considered days of din, judgment, days of judgment. That people are afraid to do things in this 3 weeks. No decisions, no signing anything, no operations. It's days of judgment. So, as usual, as always, there's the external part of things and the internal part of things. If you're looking at the external part, it's a very bad period. It's days of judgment. If you're looking for the internal part of it, it actually has the potential to achieve very, very good things. So we have 22 days, starting from the 17th of Tammuz till Tisha B'Av, that it all starts on the day of 17th of Tammuz, that if you go back, what happened, why are we commemorating the day, is that's the day when the golden calf happened. That's when Moshe Rabbeinu came down from the mountains and saw the golden calf and broke the first set of tablets. That's what happened on Yud-Zayin Tammuz. What really happened? That a month, that 40 days before that, on Vav Sivan, they received the Torah. On Zayin B'Sivan, Moshe Rabbeinu went up to the mountain. Moshe Rabbeinu was on the mountain for 40 days. He comes down on Yud-Zayin B'Tammuz and he finds a party. He finds the golden calf, and then the tablets break. Now, if you're looking at it the positive side, then that's a very special day. If you remember, on the 2 days ago when we learned about Yud-Zayin B'Tammuz, I quoted a verse from the prophet of Zechariah that these days are going to become a day of joy, we're going to have a holiday when Mashiach is going to come. The fast days are going to become a festival. It's going to be a day of partying. Why? Moshe Rabbeinu came down from the mountain with the tablets. This should be a day of partying, not a day of mourning. Now, if there wouldn't be the sin of golden calf, you know what would have happened that moment when Moshe Rabbeinu came down from the mountains? Moshe Rabbeinu would receive the soul of Mashiach. He would take them right into Eretz Israel. Right away they would build Beit HaMikdash, and that's it. Story's over. That's what would have happened if there wouldn't be the sin of the golden calf. But obviously, it didn't happen. And since then, 3,339 years, we have to now correct this sin. Just imagine that if it wouldn't happen, literally Moshe Rabbeinu would have become Mashiach. He would receive the soul of Mashiach. And that's it, right away, he would bring the tikkun to the world. Now we know that the place, the more kedusha, the more holiness is in a place, the more opposition and the more power of the sitra acha will be. The where you see a lot of opposition to Torah and mitzvot, it means there's a lot of kedusha there. The more you see an argument, a fight, empower of the sitra acha is the other side of holiness, that means there's a lot of kedusha. When you see a couple that there's a lot of problems to get into the chuppah, a lot of problems with the families and a lot of fighting and all that, means there's a lot of kedusha there. Especially when you see couples that they have all sorts of shalom bayit issues, but not because they're very superficial, because there's something going on between them. There's a lot of holiness that the Yetzer Hara doesn't want them to get together. So the rule is, במקום שיש הרבה קדושה, יש הרבה אחיזה לסיטרא אחא. When there's a place that there's a lot of קדושה, the סיטרא אחא hangs out there, because there's a lot of קדושה going on there. So that's why when there was such potential to bring the redemption, the סיטרא אחא could not stand the opportunity, and he had to come and be a party pooper and bring the golden calf. When Moshe Rabbeinu saw the sin of the golden calf, Moshe Rabbeinu kind of fell into despair, and he didn't want to pray for Am Yisrael. He's like, you know what? I'm done. I did enough. I prayed for them for the last year and a half. I'm not praying anymore. If they're able to receive the Torah, to see Hashem in Mount Sinai, and 40 days later they can't wait and they have to sin in the golden calf, Moshe Rabbeinu says, you know what? I'm not praying. I'm not praying for them. That's where it says in the Torah that Hashem says, okay, come to me, Hashem, Moshe Rabbeinu, and I will erase this entire nation. So, Moshe Rabbeinu did not want to pray for Am Yisrael in the beginning. We know that in the first 40 days when Moshe Rabbeinu was on the mountain, the Torah that Moshe Rabbeinu was learning, it's called the Torah of Mashiach. It's not the Torah that what we know. He was learning already the Torah that Mashiach is going to teach us, because he was supposed to be Mashiach. He was supposed to come down and become Mashiach and take us into Eretz Israel. So the first 40 days that Moshe Rabbeinu was in the mountains, he was learning the Torah of Mashiach. This is called Atika Setima. This is the Kabbalistic term for the Torah that Moshe Rabbeinu was learning there. Later on, when he went again into the mountains, that's when he learned the Torah that we know. That's why he came down from the mountain the second time with the oral Torah, with the Talmud, with the Zohar and Midrashim and the rest of all the 24 books, and not only the 5 books. But in the beginning, Moshe Rabbeinu, in these 40 days, Moshe Rabbeinu was already preparing to become Mashiach. Now, one might ask, why did Hashem allow to such thing to happen? Because Hashem wanted to bring into the world the concept of tshuva. He wanted us to reach to a high level of tshuva. And he also wanted us to work on a certain attribute, on a certain power that is called En Yeush Ba'olam, that there's no despair in the world. Now, in order for me to understand that there's no despair, has to be a sin. In order for me to become a Baal tshuva, has to be a sin. How can I become a Baal tshuva if I didn't sin? Now, at the time of Matan Torah, at the giving of the Torah, we were all tzaddikim. Hashem killed us all, if you remember. Hashem said, Anochi Avai Elokecha. We all had a near-death experience. We all died. And Hashem brought our souls back into life. We literally had a clinical death. And now we were tzaddikim. We were clean. So Hashem wanted us to become a Baal Tshuva. A Baal Tshuva is a higher level. So in order to be a Baal Tshuva, you have to have a sin. Therefore, Hashem orchestrated and manipulated the situation that there will be a sin. Now, after that, what happens? Moshe Rabbeinu decided that he will pray for Am Yisrael. Later on, he goes up again to the mountain for another 40 days, and he comes down on Yom Kippur with the second set of tablets. And Hashem says, Salachti ki dvarecha, I will forgive them as you requested. Half a year later, they're building the Mishkan. As Moshe Rabbeinu says, Hashem says, okay, since we know they are human, they're about to sin, build yourself a mikdash, v'asitim l'mikdash v'shachandi b'tocham, and half a year later they build the Mishkan, And a few months later, they're ready to go in Eretz Israel, and suddenly they come up with another foolish idea: let's send spies. And we just learned about it a few weeks ago, and they send the Merglim, the spies, into Eretz Israel. They come back to Israel, they come back to the desert. When? On Tisha B'Av. There's two opinions. One opinion says that they came on Chet B'Av. One opinion says that they came on Tet B'Av. Either way you're looking at it, the beginning started in Tisha B'Av. Because even if they came at night on Chet B'Av, it's already Tisha B'Av. But the Meraglim came back on Tisha B'Av, saying that we can conquer the land, and the land is very bad. The Torah says that that night, the entire night, everybody stayed up and cried. And up until today, we stay up and we cry all night and all day that day on Tisha B'Av. Hashem says, no problem. That night, you're going to cry for the fact that I punished you to be left in the desert. But that night will be marked for generations that you're going to cry for the fact that you don't going into Eretz Israel, and you could have already had the redemption there. Now, the sad thing is that Tisha B'Av was supposed to be the day of redemption. We were supposed to go into Eretz Israel on Tisha B'Av. Tisha B'Av was supposed to be marked for generation Independence Day. The Lehavdil, of course, the same way we have here Yom HaTzmaut, America has 4th of July. Tisha B'Av was supposed to be the day of redemption. We were supposed to celebrate every Tisha B'Av. We went into Israel. Instead of that, the Meraglim come back, they smeared the whole thing, they messed it all up. Up until today, we're paying for that sin. So we're paying for the sin of the golden calf, and we're paying for the sin of the Meraglim, of the spies. And this happened on Tisha B'Av. Now, since that was supposed to be the day of redemption, and it turned into the day of judgment, then because of the essence of the days, from Yud Zayin of Tammuz, then when we were supposed to get the tablets, till Tisha B'Av, when we were supposed to receive our redemption, the essence of the days is the days of redemption, the days of Geulah. Can you imagine the source of these days? The most powerful place that these days were supposed to be the days of redemption. But since it got transformed into days of judgment, then we're kind of suffering. But that just goes to teach you what can be achieved in these 3 weeks. If I go into the essence, we spoke about the concept of wells before. The well is digging into the essence and pulling something out. So in a very external way, yes, it's days of judgment. But the essence of these days are very powerful days, days of redemption. Now, what one can achieve in these 3 weeks, a person cannot achieve the entire year, if a person puts their mind to it. And we're going to talk about today what can be achieved and what needs to be applied and how can I do it. Now, of course, comes a great question that our sages asked Hashem: how can it be that the Holy Temple was destroyed? How can there be such a thing? 1,000 years later, not exactly 1,000, but about 1,000 years later, after we were in the desert, we had a Beit HaMikdash. I mean, it's much less. I'm talking about the second Beit HaMikdash. How can it be that the Holy Temple was destroyed? Hashem brought us into Israel. We build the Beit HaMikdash, and twice it gets destroyed? That doesn't make sense even. So Hashem says, you know why the Beit HaMikdash was destroyed? I'll tell you why. The first Beit HaMikdash, the Holy Temple, was destroyed from three sins: idol worship, murder, and forbidden relation. Very simple. You sin, the Beit HaMikdash got destroyed. The second Beit HaMikdash got destroyed from Sinat Chinam, from hating somebody for no reason. Very simple. Here's your question, here's my answer. So our sages said, let me rephrase my question. Not how could it be that the Beit HaMikdash was destroyed. How can it be that a Jew comes to do idol worship, or to do bloodshed, or to have forbidden relation, or to have Sinat Chinam? How can even something like that happen? How can a person fall to such a level that he fails in forbidden relation? You have to be, something has to be wrong with you to go and fail in forbidden relationships. or to have to do idol worship, something has to be wrong with you. Sorry, I'm saying it in that way. For a person to fail in idol worship, something has to be wrong there. Or in murder, in shpichut damim. Shpichut damim is murder. And to have sinat chinam, that's not me. My essence is good. I'm created in the image of God. Betzelem Elokim nivra Adam. How can I be evil? How can I hate somebody? So our sages comes with a question, says, how can it be that even we even fail into such a sin? Now, in order to understand how we can fail, we have to understand the end result. The end result of a sin is to do tshuva. The reason why Hashem allows me to sin is because He wants me to do tshuva. Now, there are two levels in the tshuva. There's the chitzoniyut of the tshuva, the external part of tshuva, and the internal part of tshuva, the pnimiyut. The external part of the tshuva is that I stop doing sins and I'm doing all sorts of acts. That's it. Very simple. Stop stealing, stop cheating, stop saying lashon hara. Excuse me. Stop eating meat and dairy, stop wearing shatnez and so forth. All this stops. Start doing things, start putting tefillin, eat kosher, observe Shabbat. That's it. You do tshuva. But that's the external part. That's the actions. The internal part, this is called avodah pnimit. What is this avodah pnimit? The internal work that I do. The Zohar calls it Rachmana Liba Abaye. The Kadosh Baruch Hu wants your heart. He doesn't want your actions. He says, I want your heart. Putting tefillin on is very nice. Not to eat meat and dairy, that's very nice. Excuse me. But Hashem says, I want your heart. I don't want your actions. Actions don't mean much. You know why actions don't mean much? Because you're not going to go very not modest in the street, because you don't want people to say, oh, look at her, she's not modest. And I don't want not to show up in shul and to not to put tefillin on, because people are going to say, hey, wait a minute, why aren't you coming to shul? What's wrong with you? So actions don't mean much. Shem says, I'm looking at the heart. Don't think you're impressing me with acts. The acts are for you. But Hashem says, I want your heart. I want the avodah shebalev, the real, real intention, what's going in your heart. Because the external can be it's very easy to put a suit on. That's why I told you on Tuesday that when I became religious and I went to yeshiva, for 2 years I refused to wear a suit. Everybody told me in the yeshiva, you have to wear the suit. And I told them, that's very external. I will feel like I'm cheating myself if I'm putting a suit on. I need my tshuva to be inside. And when inside I will feel that I did tshuva, then I will feel that I'm worthy to wear a suit. Because once I wear a suit, I'm an ambassador of the Kadosh Baruch Hu. I am a religious man walking in the street with the costume. I'm wearing a uniform. It's not a costume. It's not for me. It's a uniform saying to the world, this is how Hashem wants you to behave. So if I'm not 100% complete, why should I fool other people and wear a black suit and a black hat and still cheat and curse and say lashon hara and talk while I'm praying? And people say, oh, that's what the Torah is about. That's why 90% of the religious Jews are mispresenting the Torah. I'm saying it in a harsh and not nice way. But if I'm wearing a suit, you know, now in New Jersey, dozens of religious people were arrested for frauding the American government for welfare. And it's all over the newspaper, all over the news, all over everywhere. You see religious men with beards and suits in handcuffs, and FBI agents are around them, and women with hair covering and dresses, and the world is looking and saying, oh, that is what the Jew is representing, that's what it's teaching the world, that it's okay to fraud the government because the government is being extra nice to you and you're going like that to get a few more dollars out. Just imagine the Chilul Hashem, the desecrating of the name of Hashem by doing such a thing. So I want to wear a suit and inside I'm still resenting people, hating people, judging them the wrong way, lying, cheating, lashon hara. Who am I kidding? I'm frauding myself. And worse than that, I'm doing Chilul Hashem. And I know many people. I have a very, very close friend that you might have seen it. He comes to visit Tzfat very often. He doesn't go with a yarmulke. He goes with a hat, like a different hats, like a I don't know how they call them, but something, because he wants to cover his head, but not with a yarmulke. And he tucks in his tzitzis. And he's like, listen, I'm not 100% religious. I still have a very long way to go. And I don't want somebody to look at me with a black suit and a yarmulke and say, wait a minute, I just saw you lying and I just saw you cheating and I just saw you did this and that. He's like, I'm not really religious yet. So I don't want to take the responsibility. Yeah, he's very smart and I love him because he's honest. And he says, listen, I'm still not 100% religious. I want to. I'm working on it. I will get there. But I'm not 100%. And unfortunately, what happens is in our generation, a lot of the Jewish religious people, they're dressed in the uniform, but they're not behaving the right way. And then the rest of the world looks at them and says, oh, that's what the Torah is about? The Torah is about lying and cheating and, excuse me, molesting and cursing and raping and taking, and that's what's the Torah? I don't want to have any part in it. And that's why you find 90% of the Jews saying, I don't want to be part of it. So, Hashem says, I don't want your external, I want the internal, I want your heart. And the tshuva has to be in the heart. The actions has to be from the heart. It's very easy to smile to a person, yes, how can I help you? And inside, be like, I can't stand you. Please leave my house already. So this is why the second Beit HaMikdash was destroyed, because of Sinat Chinam, that I put on a smile, yes, I love you. And inside, I'm like, I can't stand that person. And the second the person turns around, I turn around to my friend, did you see her? Did you see what she said about me? So Hashem says, listen, you're not fooling me. And don't try to fool yourself. Hashem says, I want your heart. Now, what does it mean that Hashem wants our hearts? Hashem says, listen, actions are very nice, but we need to desire to be close to Hashem in our hearts. Very few people sit at home and saying to themselves, wow, I wish to be so close to Hashem. Very few people do it, but they do it and they're saying, Hashem, please, I want to be close to you, I want to love you, I want to be excited to do a mitzvah. How many times are you excited to do a mitzvah? You are excited to do a mitzvah when you become observant. But then when it becomes part of your life, you're not so excited. So Hashem says, I want you to be excited. I want you to have this feeling in your heart, the same way that you fall in love and you have these strong feelings towards another person and you want to be with that person all day long. Hashem says, I want you to fall in love with me. I want you to want to be with me all day long. Now, when you reach to that level, this is called Ahavat Hashem, the result will be that the Shekhinah can dwell on that person. The Shekhinah is the feminine aspect of the Divine. This is the concept of Asitnu L'Midash V'Shachanti B'Tocham. That's why the Arizal says you want to reach a level of prophecy, you want to reach to a level of Ruach HaKodesh, you have to reach to the level that you are cleansing, you are desiring to be part of Hashem. This is called Ahavat Hashem. Now, our sages explain that when the person just concentrates on the external, this is the stumbling block that will cause him to fall into severe sins like idol worship, forbidden relations, and murder, and bloodshed, and sinat chinam. When the person is just concentrating on the external part. If you're not concentrating on the working on the internal part, you're subject to fail. That's how it is. If you're constantly focusing on, oh, I have to be very modest, and the shirt has to be here, and I have to be very religious, and the, most likely you will fail in all these sins, because you're concentrating just on the external part. We first have to concentrate on the internal part. To be honest, to be truthful, not to be judgmental, no jealousy, no anger, no hate. That's, again, going back to the example, my tshuva, I said my tshuva is not a jacket, my tshuva is inside. When I'm going to reach to the level the inside is clean, then I can start concentrating on the outside. So our sages explain very clearly, I'll repeat it. When a person is very focused on the external, most likely that will be the beginning of the end, where a person will fail in all these severe sins. When our sages say, why would the Beis HaMikdash get destroyed. And Hashem said, because of idol worship, forbidden relations, bloodshed, and sinat chinam, hating another person for no reason. And like I mentioned the other day, when it says "Va'ahavta le'racha kamocha," this is a verse from the Torah. It says "Va'ahavta le'racha." It doesn't say "Va'ahavta le'yudi." That we have to learn from that. A lot of people say "Va'ahavta le'racha" means, and you should love another person. It doesn't say you should love another Jew like you like yourself. This is a general order that I should love on any other person, whether he's Jewish or not, whether I'm Jewish or not. That has nothing to do with religion, this commandment. Same thing here, that it says that sinat chinam, it doesn't say sinat yehudi chinam, hating another Jew for no reason. Sinat chinam, hating another person for no reason. Whether you're Jewish or not, or whether you're hating a Jew or not, it has nothing to do with it. People saying, oh, sinat chinam is just between me and another Jew. No, sinat chinam is between me and any other person. So, these four sins, which are the most severe sins, that the three first ones, idol worship, forbidden relation, and bloodshed, this I have to die and not to fail. This is Yareg Vebal Yavor. I have to put my life there and not to do the sin. And when Hashem says these are the sins that the Holy Temple was destroyed, it's not, the question of our sages was not what was the sin, is how do I get to even to do that sin? When I'm focused on the external, most likely the result will be that I can be very religious, but I will fail in one of these big sins. Sinat chinam, forbidden relation, that in our generation, half, if not 90%, are failing in. And needless to say, sinat chinam is an umbrella. Sinat chinam is jealousy and anger and hate and lashon hara and all these things. And of course, idol worship and bloodshed. Now, how do I fix the destruction of the temple? We don't have a temple right now. We are constantly praying to get the third Beit HaMikdash. How do I fix it? Only and only by the internal work that I need to do. My actions will not fix the destruction of Beit HaMikdash. Yes, every mitzvah that I do, they say every mitzvah puts another brick on the Beit HaMikdash. Our mitzvot are very important. Don't go home and say, ooh, Alon gave me now a discount that I don't have to do mitzvot anymore. I'm only going to work on my inner feelings. This is not what I'm saying. But you have to do mitzvot. But the way to correct and to fix the destruction, the mitzvot will help build the mikdash. But first we have to fix the destruction. If I now want to build a building on a land that there was another structure there, I can't build a new building on the structure. I have to destroy the old building, remove it, and then build a new one. So we first have to, in order to build a new building, we have to fix the destruction. Imagine now, you go to Yerushalayim, you see remainings of the city of David. Hypothetically, if they would want to build now Beit HaMikdash, they have to remove all the old structure. They can't build on it, right? So we have to first fix the destruction of the temple in order for us to be ready to build the temple. Now, how do I fix the destruction of the temple? Or I should say first, when? When is now, in these 3 weeks. I mean, they throughout the entire year. But now, these 3 weeks is the most auspicious time to start fixing the destruction of the temple. How do I do that? Yeah, unfortunately, you might have to see the video. How do we fix it? By observing and meditating on what I'm lacking and what I'm missing. I'm obviously missing something in my life. And I have to find out what's missing. And what's missing is, in my life, is Hashem. Because if I would have Hashem in my life, I wouldn't feel that anything is missing. Even if I don't have money, I don't have my other half, I don't have kids, chas v'shalom, I don't have health, whatever it is that I'm missing, if I have Hashem in my life, I'm not lacking anything. I would be the most happiest person in the world. If I'm not happy, it's not because I don't have money, or I don't have a good relationship with my wife, or because I don't have kids or I don't have success. That's not what causes my happiness or my sadness. What's going to cause my sadness or my happiness is if I have Hashem in my life. If Hashem is in my heart, I will be the most happiest person in the world, even if I'm poor and I'm living in a box. And if I don't have Hashem in my life, I can have millions of dollars, 3 mansions, 5 Ferraris, I'll never be happy. I'll never be satisfied, and I'll never be full. You can see people that are millionaires, trillionaires, they have everything that they want, they're not happy, because unless they have Hashem in their life. So I have to meditate and to understand what is the real thing that is lacking in my life. And when I realize and find that it's a lack of Hashem, that's when I can start making the tikkun. I can only make my tikkun when I understand what I'm missing. And a lot of people talk about the concept of heaven and hell, Gan Eden and Gehenom. The Gan Eden is a good place where I want to get to, and Gehenom is a bad place where I don't want to get to. Rabbi Nachman from Breslev says that Gan Eden and Gehenom is in the person's heart. You don't have to die to go to Gan Eden, to Gehenom. It's in your heart. You can have Gan Eden in this world, it's in your heart, and you can have Gehenom in this world. And the Gan Eden is when you have Hashem in your life. And in this world, you have Gan Eden. And if Chas V'Shalom, you don't have Hashem in your heart, then you have Gehenom in this world. Nothing works out. Everything is bad in this world. So, in order for me to A, correct the destruction of the Beit HaMikdash, and also to feel that Hashem is in my heart, that can only be achieved by one thing, is having the attribute, the Midat HaEmet, is having the attribute of truth. Without truth, I will never reach to that level. And having this Midat HaEmet, the attribute of Emet, has to be deep in my heart. I'm not talking about not lying right now. I'm talking that in my heart, I'm all about truth, and I'm willing to admit where I fail. And I'm willing to myself, not to the world. I'm not talking right now to be truthful to other people. Midat HaEmet, the attribute of Emet, it's in my heart. It's when I'm able to tell to myself where I'm failing and what are my weaknesses. Because most people, they don't want to tell themselves where they're bad. They're not willing to admit, yeah, I failed over here. I have very bad attributes over there. So Midat HaEmet starts in my heart, where I'm able to sit down and say, I'm so mean. I'm so jealous. I'm so whatever. And most people say, no, the problem is in that person, not in me. I'm fine. It's the other person that has the problem. And the attribute, the Midat HaEmet, is that I'm sitting with myself and I'm saying, this is where I failed. This is where I'm not good at. Now, we know we have a partner. And this partner, I didn't ask for this partner, but this partner is called the Yetzer Hara. And unfortunately in our generation, this partner is a very very dominating partner in my life. And this Yetzer Hara comes in many different forms. One of the forms the Yetzer Hara has come in, it's called Arumumiyut. Arumumiyut is sneaky, something that is very sneaky, and not only sneaky, like tricky, sneaky and tricky. This is called in the Kabbalistic term, the forehead of the snake, Metzach HaNachash. That he doesn't come to tell you to do a sin. Sometimes the Yetzirah is going to come and tell you, steal that thing, or don't do that mitzvah. Here it comes to, in a tricky way, to trick you. Now, how does he come to trick you? He hides from you the ability to see where your bad attributes are. So if you have a problem with jealousy, that's a very bad attribute, jealousy. Jealousy is a very, very bad thing. The Rabbi Berland, one of the tzaddikim in our generation, he says that the jealousy is one of the main causes to prevent the redemption of coming. Everybody's jealous of each other. Now, jealousy is not necessarily that I see a beautiful brand new Mercedes, sparkling wheels, and beautiful car, and I get jealous that I don't have that car. Jealousy is that somebody will come and tell me that one of my friends just got a good job, or just got engaged, or found this gorgeous home, and I get this little pinch in my heart. That's jealousy. That I'm not happy to hear good news of somebody else, and I do this is the real jealousy. Not that I see a beautiful building and I'm like, oh, I wish I would have such a beautiful home. Is that I hear good news of somebody else and I'm like, and this goes in my heart for maybe a second or two. This little jealousy. Rav Berlan says this is what's causing the redemption to be delayed. Is this that I can't be happy for somebody else. Where is he from? Rav Berlan, I think he lives in Yerushalayim. Yeah. If you ask him where is he from, he's a Breslover.
No, he was
prosecuted. Yeah, 100, yeah, yeah.
Really? For what? Oh.
He was accused in many things, whatever. So, this is the Sitra Acha doing its work. But anyways, the point is that the Yetzer Hara will come in a very sneaky way, not to tell me to do a sin. He's going to come and manipulate the situation that I will not recognize my bad attributes. And I'm not going to be able to see where I'm failing. So I can come and say, yes, I did something wrong. Now, the point is that when I want to really correct everything that I just told you is only when I really build and emphasize the attribute of truth in me. And the truth is not necessarily not lying to other people. That's a given. Is that I don't lie to myself, and I'm able to admit and saying, you know what? I have a lot of problems with jealousy. I have a problem that I'm lazy, or I'm very judgmental, or you know what? I can't stop lying, or whatever it is that I admit to myself, not to anybody else. When I admit, that's when I'm able to start fixing. You see this problem, for example, with that somebody has an addiction to alcohol, to drugs, to gambling, to many other things. They're not willing to admit. I know of a person who has a drinking problem. Unfortunately, I know many people that have drinking problems, but this specific individual, we constantly tell him, you know, you have a drinking problem. No, I don't. I can control. I don't drink during the week. Who cares if you drink during the week? But when you drink, you're going off board. So what if you don't drink during the week? Besides that, why are you lying? We know you drink during the week. No, I have it under control. No, you don't. Why are you lying? You're lying to me. You're lying to yourself. So we have to stop lying to ourselves. To lie to other people, that we lie all day long, that's not even a question. You have to stop lying. We spoke about it before. The funniest thing is people lie to Hashem, like as if Hashem doesn't know. But then we lie to ourselves. And we have to stop lying to ourselves, because when we lie to ourselves, we cannot work on ourselves. So, really what I want to do in these 3 weeks is to meditate on what I am lacking. And I have to pray to Hashem to say, Hashem, show me what I'm bad at. It's very hard for me to be... To rebuke myself. It's very hard for me to be honest and say, you know what, I'm very lazy. I'm very judgmental. It's very hard to do that. Not only that, sometimes it's very hard for me to really pinpoint where I'm wrong. Maybe I'm obviously doing something wrong. Now, I don't want to get rebuked and to get a pointing finger from somebody else. I should say to myself, Hashem, show me where I'm failing. And you know what? If you really open your heart and you see it, you're gonna be shocked. Because you're gonna be like, oh my gosh, I'm actually failing there? I thought I'm failing there. I never thought that I'm failing in this department. Maybe I'm disrespecting somebody. Maybe I'm judging somebody the wrong way. The thing is that in these 3 weeks, we have to correct the sin of the meraglim. This is of the spies. This is exactly the spirit of the 3 weeks. It started with the golden calf. It ended up with when the spies came back. Now, really, what was the sin of the meraglim? they went in, and they were saying, they were claiming that the land cannot be conquered by themselves. It's too hard for them. Basically saying, in other words, Hashem can't do that. The deeper meaning of their sin was, is that they went into Israel, they saw that there has to be birur nitzotzot, refinement of godly sparks in Israel, and they saw that's way too hard for us. We're not going to be able to do this tikkun. This is called avodat birurim. They saw that the sparks in Eretz Israel will be way too hard for them to fix, so they gave up. We can't do it. Basically saying, in other words, we do not believe that Hashem will be with us to help us. They did not trust Hashem. And this is something that we sin up until today, that Hashem puts a challenge in my life, and right away I give up and I say, I can't fight this challenge. Instead of saying, wait a minute, I don't have to fight any challenge. It's Hashem's war. My challenge is to trust that Hashem will do it. And when I give up and I say I can't do it, or I chas v'shalom even say Hashem cannot do it, I sin in the exact same sin of the spies. We're done in a minute, and then we'll take all the questions. Up until today, we are sinning in the sin of the spies. Hashem puts a challenge in my life, and we think that I'm the one who can fix it, and I have zero trust in Hashem. Instead of me saying, Hashem, it's your problem. My problem is to trust in Hashem. And Hashem says, if you think you can solve the problem, then you go and solve it. And you are like the spies, that you think that you can solve it or not. If the spies would come and say, we can't do it, but Hashem will do it for us, then there wouldn't be a problem. So this is something that we're sinning all day long. We have to trust Hashem 100%. If you remember when I came back from my previous tour in America, not in London, I told you we made a class out of it. You can find the class online. And I said that in the first few days in the tour, I had to go to fundraise for the organization, and I didn't have success, because I thought it's up to me. And then I had a turning point that I said, wait a minute, this is not my problem. I'm not the treasurer of the organization. My responsibility is to go and teach, to go to inspire, to go and educate. That's my job in the business. It's Hashem's responsibility to find money. It's not my job to go and ask for money or to go and fundraise. And the second that I said to Hashem, your responsibility is the money, my responsibility is I have to teach, educate, help, inspire, then Hashem says, oh, now you're putting the responsibility in my hands, now I'll take care of the money, don't worry. And the second that I left the responsibility, that's when the donations started coming in. So Hashem constantly puts situations in my life, and I think that I can take care of that. And then I run into obstacles, and then I fall into despair because it's not working out. And Hashem says, you are only obligated in one thing. Trust me. Have bitachon. Have bitachon, have the faith and the trust, emunah and bitachon, that I can do it. Let me do it. If you would let me do it, I will do it. And you don't have a problem. But if you don't let me do it, then go ahead, fight your own battle by yourself. And then I fall into despair because I lost the battle, because I can't do it by myself. And that's the sin of the spies. Therefore, in these 3 weeks, I want to correct the destruction of the temple. I want to correct the sin of the spies. And I want to correct the sin of the golden calf. All this can happen and can be achieved in the 3 weeks. It's a very auspicious time. Only by meditating on the fact that Hashem is not really in my life. I'm not 100% serving Hashem. My avodat Hashem, my service of God, has to be in my heart before it's in my body. Of course I have to do actions, but this is called avodah shebalev, a lot of work in my heart. And the work in my heart is constantly talking to myself and pointing out to myself where I'm wrong. If I'm wrong in an argument, say to yourself, you know what? I was wrong, I shouldn't have said that. I'm going to go and apologize. If I was wrong in anything, I woke up late, don't tell yourself, oh, I worked so hard doing mitzvahs last night. No, be honest with yourself and say, why am I kidding? I was lazy. So I have to do a lot of internal work. That's what Hashem wants. Hashem wants our heart, not necessarily how I'm dressed. Of course he wants to see tzniut and he wants to see mitzvot and everything. But really it has to be inside. And that has to be by following the attribute of emet, of midat emet, and applying it and utilizing it and using this. That from now on it's only emet. And more than that is saying to myself and learning that I can only trust in Hashem. I can't trust in anything else. I have to only trust in Hashem. Chas v'shalom, I have a sickness. I can't trust in the doctor. The doctor is just a messenger. I have to trust in Hashem. Now we have a student that she's going through a battle, a legal battle. And she went to a lawyer. I told her, the lawyer is a messenger. The judge is a messenger. You cannot trust in the judge. You cannot trust in the lawyer. You have to trust in Hashem. If you trust in Hashem, Hashem is going to make it that the lawyer will be successful and the judge will decide favorably to you. If you have only 99% trust in Hashem, it will not work. Your job here is not to run and find another lawyer. Your job here is to only trust in Hashem. And wake up in the morning and say, Hashem, I put the entire case in your hands. I'm 100% trusting in you. And if you do that, you'll have 100% success. So this is the time to do it. We have a very auspicious time, 3 weeks, to really turn the world upside down. And if we do it the right way, exactly like the prophet Zachary says, these days, the fast of the 17th of Tammuz, the fast of Tisha B'Av, they're all going to change to a festival. They're going to be transformed into a festive time. And Bezrat Hashem, if we do our job the right way, we will merit to see the coming of Mashiach. We will merit to see the building of the third Beit HaMikdash. That's what we're mourning, the lost. But it can only be done with these things. It cannot be done with just doing mitzvot. It has to be a lot of internal work. That's why the second Beit HaMikdash was destroyed from Sinat Chinam. Sinat Chinam is something that it's in the heart. You can't see. Sinat Chinam is just hating somebody for no reason. Since the sin is not revealed, then the length of the exile is not revealed. We have to concentrate and meditate mainly on the inside and to really clean the inside. Clean thoughts, pure intentions. Not being fake, not being jealous, not being judgmental. All these attributes. When I'm 100% clean from inside, it radiates outside. Then my Ahavat Israel is real. Then my charity is real. Then my support and my love, and it's all real because it's not fake. Amy said before, then you're not going to have friends. Okay, friends you have on Facebook. If that's what's going to cost friendships, and you know what, if you're going to be real, you're actually going to have real friends. You might not have 50 friends, but you'll have 3 real friends. Yeah, you're not going to have friends that can't stand the fact that you're talking truth. If you are 100% truth, then yes, the people who are not truth will not going to be your friends. There's not going to be any common denominator in here. But if you are 100% emet, yeah, you will find true friends, but it will be real people. So you're not going to have 50 friends, you'll have 2. And if you don't have friends, okay. But at least you are a man or a woman of truth. Bezrat Hashem, this is the secret to the success of how to bring the redemption. It's up to us, we can do it. And we have a lot of responsibility in the next 3 weeks. And Bezrat Hashem, these days should transform from days of judgment to days of chesed, of kindness, of mercy. Amen. It says on Tisha B'Av, the soul of Mashiach was born, Bezrat Hashem. We should merit to see very soon the coming of Mashiach, the building of the third temple. No more hate, no more jealousy, no more judgment, and Bezrat Hashem, only love and good things.